This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of this stunning edition, as always, of Postcard from Poprad with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in Poprad. Lee Banks, over on the zit of the nose of Europe, that's UK, and co-founder of the Consumer Action Group. He's over
engaged.
I'm breaking these teeth in for Lee.
And excuse me.
Who Mark Gander is over in Gay Parry. I have to say, I kind of agree with this headline a little bit, because I can see this getting all a bit stupid. Not because I'm a recently ex-smoker, but I'll come to that in a minute. Anyway, Lee, why cigarettes are the new porn?
Well, I just think the way smokers are, I'm nearly an ex-smoker, but the way smokers are treated in Britain is just appalling. You're treated like lepers. We're all, as a smoker, you are treated like a leper. Right. You're not even allowed to smoke inside a public house or anything. And now you're being turned into a pervert. They're putting all tobacco displays, I've got to be done in brown paper packages now, plain paper packages, mm-hmm. and you've got to sneak up to the counter and ask for them quietly while they slip them out from a secret drawer under the counter and hand them over to you. This is just
putting on a deep voice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just not me. And do you know what will happen, don't you? You know exactly what will happen.
What?
They'll all buy them from over here.
Of course he will. He's going to open up the most ridiculous... Yeah, absolutely. The whole black market will go insane.
It always does.
Back in Paris again. Well,
actually, I have to say, I think it's a very good idea. Very sorry. I'm an ex-smoker as well. And for 5 years I haven't smoked. And since I adopted my two children, they've never seen me smoke. And I'm very pleased about it.
Yes.
And I do everything I can to make them feel, really, that it's almost a shameful thing to smoke. And the only way I can do that, really, is to denigrate people that we see smoking. And it may be unfair on the smokers, but I have in mind my children and other people who don't smoke. And I think it's a bit like seatbelts, drunk driving, all sorts of other things. I think that, really, you're not going to get anywhere until you start to make it sort of a shameful thing and the kind of thing you wouldn't really want to admit.
Yeah, I can see your point.
Why don't they just actually ban it? Because they can't afford to ban it, that's why. So now they're ridiculing people because they want to see politically correct.
Yeah, I don't think that's why they don't ban it. I think they don't ban it because there are so many people who've become cigarette addicts over an enormously long period of time when it was legal that you can't suddenly make it illegal. And I think it's going to just take a long time to woo people off. And I could certainly imagine
you are
that...
so naive, Mr. Mark.
I've got a couple of questions. I think Lee should do some research for us because he still lives in the country.
Shove a brother up me. Yeah, carry on.
Well, the first thing that springs to mind is how much, I mean, they always claim a figure, which I don't know what it is, that the National Health Service in the UK has to pay out because people smoke. So it's smoking-related illnesses. Yeah. You know, what's the cost of that? Balanced against how much the government gets in revenue. Because don't forget, you're paying in the UK, I think, something around, because they still have their own currency in the UK. So it's about £5.50.
No, it's more now. They're over £6 now.
£6. All right, so you're talking sort of £4.50, £4.75 in euros speak.
No, you've done it the wrong way around.
Why?
You're talking more about €8.
Oh, sorry, yeah, because it's the other way around.
Of course you are. Yeah, Mark, you're naive, but you're fast.
Oh, he's fast. but don't call him a banker because he can do numbers.
The bishop.
Yeah. but the fact is, there's a level of revenue going out from the government to the NHS. How's that counterbalanced, or is it counterbalanced, or is it the opposite way round from the revenue the government gets from tobacco taxes?
I can't give you the figures, but I do know.
No, we'll have a look at them and see what it is.
Because
I can tell you now.
There is more income from cigarettes than there is outgoings to.
I would have thought there's going to be a bit of an issue here when people find, if people are allowed to find out. And secondly, it should be noted that even here where I'm now, because they're going to put cigarettes up, and I have noticed, and I've got a top tip a top tip for anybody that's giving up smoking. I think I've mentioned it before, but it works. Cigarettes are going up to €3.20 shortly in Slovakia, which is about £2.50 to you then. Every Brit who smokes is now going, my God, or something like that. But my top tip to stop smoking is I didn't realise how much I was spending on cigarettes. And whilst it's very, very easy to sort of leave the money there and it sort of docks off and there's nothing tangible financially in this sort of €3 every couple, well, twice a day in my case in the past. So what I did at the end, what I do at the end of each month is I take the money I would have spent on cigarettes and I physically buy something. Something you wouldn't normally buy. It's a bit of a luxury.
Like a pipe?
No. No. Nor would I buy the sort of quasi bagpipes that Slovaks play either, which is a pipe. I might buy some. No, I couldn't buy. I couldn't afford to buy.
Have you any idea what he's on about, Mark?
Yes. I mean, I can see. I mean, the idea is to show that you're actually achieving something by by spending the money on something.
I didn't mean that. I meant about bagpipes. Slovak bagpipes.
They have them here, you pillock.
Well, bagpipes are not only Scottish, you know, they have them in all sorts of parts of the world.
I can call you a pillock if I want to call you a pillock.
Well, I'm going to call you another thing then. I'm just going to think of one.
I think the smoking thing is important, and I think we should get away from it. And I think that any technique, any trick that you can play on yourself, whatever it takes, if it helps you to give up smoking, then do it, because it's such a dangerous habit. It's such a rot habit, and you know, you may die at the same time, but you may die less painlessly, and that would be nice.
Well, the other one I've got for you, which a friend of mine told me here, and it does work, and I still don't understand how it does it, but it does work. The problem I have is not necessarily while I'm busy that there's ever a craving for a cigarette. And I'll be honest, I still have a craving for a cigarette. But the time when the craving really comes to the fore and I even perspire at that point is normally when I'm doing absolutely nothing, watching the telly.
When you've relaxed.
Yeah, when I've really chilled out, really relaxed moment. And what he said to me was, get some proper orange juice, preferably you make your own orange juice with a juicy machine, and freeze the thing so you're not using E-numbers or anything like that, and just suck on an ice-cold lolly. And do you know what? It works.
Funnily enough, what I did was sparkling water.
All right.
And whenever I wanted a smoke, I'd just have a sip of sparkling water.
And that cured it for you?
And I've got to hold my hands up. I have almost stopped.
Good for you.
But I smoke perhaps one or two a day. That's it.
That'll do. Let's move on, boys and girls. There's the top tips anyway. Buy something with the money you would have wasted that goes up in smoke, which doesn't when you bought something. An ice lolly or sparkling water. That might help you. You never know your luck. Now, you have to see this one in the print to actually get the joke. Barclaycard nil, postcard from Potbrad, WON or one. It's a lovely story, absolutely fabulous story of not giving up when the bank's bullying you a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what silly billies.
Well, we know that.
God's press office are.
Well, we'll just pause to leave Mark the opportunity to say how silly billies Barclaycard are.
Well, I think they've always shown them to be set for a silly billies. that they've had a bank in trouble. I mean, okay, hats off to Barclays. They didn't have to go to the government and spend money. But on the other hand, you know, they've part of the sort of the general disaster that we're all experiencing. And they've given their CEO, £6 million, although in shares by way of a gift and so forth. But, you know, I think that this story here is very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it is.
Well, anyway, come on. No, let's be honest. So let's start from the beginning. Lee got it. Lee got the job of looking after this one. Spoke to Barclaycard's press office. Da di da di da di da di da. So Lee's going to tell the story because it's his little project.
It's my little project. Yeah. Right. We got a call off a young lady who opened up a business account with Barclays. I don't know how long. About 6 months ago. And part of the deal was that she got a Barclaycard.
Figures?
Yeah, that's fine. fine, I was really nice, yes, everything's wonderful. She then went to activate the Barclay card, but was told, because she'd recently moved house, she wasn't on the electoral register, that she couldn't have the Barclay card. But Barclay card were really good to her. They said, but as you took on this Barclay card as a no-interest payment card, well, you know, when you transfer your whatever it's called, we'll allow you to continue paying at zero rate until you've paid off the outstanding amount, which is fine. Really good. Well done, Barclay card again, showing a bit of heart and a bit of interest and concern for customers. Then, guess what happened?
I don't know.
Barclay card went into this young lady's account to get their standing order to pay off this no-interest, account?
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough money in her account to pay them off.
So it's her fault then?
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, in principle, you're absolutely right. It was entirely that woman's fault, and she deserved to suffer for that. Because you know what she did?
What?
Within about an hour, it might have been 2 hours, but in a very, very short period, after the bank had gone in, a Barclay card had gone into her bank account to get the money out, she did what she had intended to do anyway, get money in available for them.
Right.
She just didn't think they would have been, they'd have done it at whatever time they did it. They probably did it at 6 o'clock in the morning or something. Mm. So she put the money in the bank. She thought everything was all right until, I think it was 2 weeks later, a robot phoned her up. Right, a proper robot, not a human being who sounded like a robot. This was a robot to tell her that her Barclay card payment hadn't worked. So she phoned them up. She was told that they had charged her 12 quid for the late payment.
Right.
They'd shut her account down, that she would now have to pay interest on the outstanding amount that was on the card. That meant she was going to be at least £1,000 out of pocket. And they said, that's it. There's nothing we can do for you. So for the fact that she was an hour or so late putting the money in the account, Barclay card, ruined her life. 2 days she spent on the phone. £28 it cost her on the telephone because they charge at 5.5p a minute.
Gosh.
Guess what happened then?
Go on.
I got in touch with the press office, right, to see if we could help out in any way.
So you got hold of the press office, right?
Got hold of the press office, told them the story. Had a bit of a row with them because they said to me, right, this is what they said to me. Excuse me, Mr. Banks, can you explain why such a small story of this would have any import internationally? I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, you...
Is that what they said? Really?
Yeah, yeah. They said, you are an international station. You go out, they checked us up on the plane. You go out in America and all that. So this isn't a new story. I said, what do you mean it's not a new story? You can't tell me what's a new story. And all that sort of thing went on.
Yeah.
So I told him to get lost, get on with the job, come back with an answer about this. Anyway, to get to the end now, like, about...
Sorry, it's all right, boys and girls. You can go to the loo in a minute. You'll be all right.
Yeah, no. Anyway, yesterday it was, this young lady got a call, right, from Barclay Card, saying, right, we're sorting this all for you. It's all sorted out now. We'll say this is the end of it. That's the phrase he used. This is the end of it, isn't it, Mrs. whatever her name is, right? So she said, fine, have you reinstated my account? So we reinstate. Everything's exactly fine. You've had your money back, everything. Don't worry about it. It's all over.
What, even the £12 charge?
As far as I'm aware, they got the £12 charge back.
Now, yes.
Check that out, but I'm sure she got the £12 charge back.
Good.
Right? So, she phones me up, dead pleased, thinking we're wonderful, and says, you know, blah, 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 this is all sorted out. So, I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's nice. I'll now wait for a call off Barclay Card's press office to confirm to me that it's all sorted out, and we can do a nice piece on air saying how wonderful they are.
No, they haven't paid the bill, mate. They couldn't phone you.
Yeah, no, eventually,
no,
I phoned them just before we went on the air.
Yeah.
I phoned them. And you know what they said?
No.
Ah, yes, we're looking into this at this very moment. And, that's how good Barclay Card
are. Excellent. Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Anyway, well done, Lee.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, young man.
No, you've got to say, in all honesty...
Yeah.
It's well done, postcard from Poprad, because it's the clout. No, it's the clout of the show that makes these people react.
Well, that's true, absolutely true.
But also, it shows what bullies they are
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, absolutely. Because all the people who aren't assisted by somebody from the press, somebody from the media, I'm afraid that they don't have the benefit of that. And you can see how much they're made to pay. Really is a disgrace.
Well, I ought to do a little thank you as well, because as Barclaycard or Barclays Press Office so ably pointed out, we have a great relationship with Talk Radio X in the US and various other stations, and we have so many outlets. If you haven't updated your Audioboo application on your iPhone or Android, you really should, because it looks absolutely fabulous, the work they've done on there. And there's this stunning great logo of the radio station sits on your iPhone. It's marvellous.
Does that work for an Android phone as well?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Get it.
It's all right. Lee, Mark and I will explain that all to you when we're off air, because it will take far too long.
Thank you very much. I'm really interested.
Hang on, I'll finish it. And the other thing is that in addition to the we have a varying amount of outlets. One of them is called Stickem, that we use quite a lot. I think this week it will raise above 110,000 listeners just on Stickem alone. So thank you very much to everybody who listens on there, because that's been rocketing up this year. Bravo. So bravo to everybody for doing that, and thank you very much indeed to everybody for the help that's kept us all going. After that, some serious journalism. Moon is a bouncy balloon.
Well, that was my headline,
Yes.
Well, it's a bit of a sad story under the circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah. Shall we leave it? Move on?
Yes, shall we?
Yeah.
Why did we put it in?
You could do that.
Why did we put it in the first place, then?
Because something hadn't happened when I put it in. And now it has. I'd like to take it out.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's bad terminology. We'll whip through a couple more of them. Is it the end?
News in the world. Let's do that.
I think it's brilliant. I absolutely applaud. Phil Collins is going to retire.
Yes.
Why yes like that?
Because he's the biggest jerk who's ever walked this earth.
Compared to whom?
And he looks like a monkey. I've seen him in the adverts.
Compared to whom?
Presumably means compared to all the other jerks, if he's the biggest jerk.
Yeah, but Mark understands me, Eric. You used to understand me.
No,
it's me.
Phil
Collins has finally admitted that it's time to go.
I respect him for that.
And I'm...
Stop
idiot.
It! No, he's not. Phil Collins writes great music. He's a great entertainer, and the fact is, he understands how to change his music as the world moves around. But
he records anodyne middle of the road rubbish, and all that's gone. And he looks like a monkey because I've seen the adverts.
Yes, I'd like to see anybody describe a song called "In the Air Tonight" or something like that. In that way, I could with people like Bob Dylan. But there again, you know, that's why he's still working when he's like 100 years old, because he can't sell enough music. Phil Collins, along with the rest of them, should sort of stand aside and let the younger talent come through.
Rubbish! Phil Collins should just stand aside before somebody shoots him.
No, he should let...
He said, right, that this is the sort of idiot that he is. No. This is what he said about his own retirement. And I'm not retiring because of dodgy reviews, bad treatment in the press, or because I don't feel loved. Well, I don't...
Well, I can understand him being upset with the press, because they wouldn't understand good music if it jumped up and bit him.
Eric, he doesn't play good music. He plays rubbish.
No, that's what I'm saying. What the journalists? Because you're now the journalist, right? you're the written word. You're the written word, right? I'm the bloke that's been in the audio world for a long time, and so what I'm saying is, I can agree with Phil Collins, because the people in the written world wouldn't understand sound if it jumped up and bit them, which is why people have a different view of it to people who write stupid arts things, who go on about Prokofiev and all this dribble.
It's to do with it. And all my life, the lyrics to All My Life, I've just picked this at random.
Yes.
Right? All my life I've been searching for the words to say how I feel.
Yeah.
I'd spent my time thinking too much spelt wrong and leave a little to say what I mean. I've tried to understand the best I can all my life. What a load of rubbish!
It's not.
Hang
just
on, is this something that you've just made up on the spur of the moment? Or is this something
that's
that...
Bill Collins'
oh, is
lyric.
It?
He doesn't great. Like it.
All right. But the I didn't know whether to say good or not, but now I say bad.
Yes, well, I would agree if it wasn't that the music was so beautifully produced, and I mean proper production, which again proves my point. Phil Collins sells shed loads of music. The written word journalist says rubbish, which goes to prove my point again. If the written word journalist says something, just do the opposite, because they wouldn't know if it's any good anyway.
Set them up. I'll take a drink with you. Pull up a chair, I think I'll stay. Set them up, because I'm going nowhere.
This, I'm afraid this sounds like a two-headed Siamese tortoise arguing with itself.
Oh dear. Let's move on to a talented artist of the moment. Lady Gaga is suing because of ice cream.
I think that's brilliant. Lady Gaga has decided. Right, you know, you have to remember this is a woman who wore a dress made of meat.
Yes.
And fights herself on, like, on wearing stomach-churning stage costumes. Well, she's now suing the company in London who invented the breast milk ice cream because they called it Baby Gaga. She said it misrepresents her.
Well, what does the Queen's song Radio Gaga do then?
Yeah, well, Radio Gaga came before that, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, they could sue her for misrepresenting that song.
What is she actually suing them for anyway?
Well, the use of the word Gaga.
But there's no right in the name.
No,
unless it's a trademark. Maybe it's a trademark.
Well, she probably has got it, but this is her.
Well, hang on. Let's just explore this a little bit. It starts with L for her and B for the ice cream. Agreed. The A is similar. But then it's a D as opposed to a B, so I've got a vague feeling they're different. But the Y is the same, I have to agree on that. So it's 50-50.
I think that's right. She says it's deliberate. The choosing that name and allying her to this ice cream is deliberately provocative and nausea-inducing. That's what she's taken him to court for. Well done, Lady Gaga.
Well, it depends on who you are, because...
I'm not sure there's a legal action for being nauseous and provocative.
No.
I think she tries to be provocative most of the time, and I have to say that I think she's quite sort of a sterling lass. But
there is that to it, I have to say. Moving along quickly, because we are going to run out of time this week, that's for sure. Manchester United fans have been told off about some offensive car stickers, Mark.
I think that they were complained about an expletive in the middle. I can't remember what it actually... Oh, yes, I think it actually said, on the first day, God created United, and for those who aren't in the United Kingdom, United refers to Manchester United.
Yeah.
And then there's an expletive, but if you've heard of French Connection UK, then you might know the initials that they're using. And then completely, that expletive, up, and created City, and there's another football team called Manchester City. So there's Manchester City and Manchester United.
Yes.
Presumably, this lady is a fan of Manchester United and doesn't think very much of... thinks God made a big mistake when they created Manchester City. But anyway, it seems that somebody took objection to the use of the expletive and ordered her to remove it from a car sticker, which I think is really quite an amazing intrusion. And eventually,
the police actually probably get involved.
Pardon me. Oh, well, I was just going to say... Right. Yeah.
I thought you were coughing over Mike's fleeting.
I'm bleeping you. I think the funniest story I've got with car stickers, which I may have... Or if stop me if I've told it before.
You've told it before.
In the 1970s, there used to be an unlicensed radio station on a ship called Radio North Sea International, abbreviated to RNI. And at that time, I was working British Telecom, at the Telephone Exchange in Hitchin in Hertfordshire. And I had RNI sticker in the back window of my car. My boss was not very happy with this, and he wrote to my father about Master E. Wiltshire, because I was under 18 at the time, which I took great offence at. And he said, either I had to take the car out or I had to move my car from the GPO car park. I said, OK, I'll move it from the GPO car park then. And I parked it right out the front on the main road for everybody to see the car sticker of Radio North Sea International. It's the same stupidity, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's pathetic. It's, and for the, this is another thing that's happening. This is why I want to be an expat, because the police are getting themselves involved in all sorts of ridiculous things. I suppose, in a way, it's going back to policing as it was in the 1950s, where you could trust a policeman to do his job and look after the things that are going on the streets. Mm. But now they're interfering in the most ridiculous, pathetic things. Manchester is a bed of heinous crime and violence, and they're going around doing this, telling a woman to get a sticker out of the car because it has a little bit of an expletive
in
it.
I have to say, I can see one element. I mean, you know, if I think if I had to pass it with my young kids every day and had to say, well, you know, what does that word mean? I don't think maybe I'd be too pleased. What I find very, very sad is that they seem simply to have settled on the removal of the vowel, the letter U, from the middle of the word.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
And that, apparently that makes it all right. I mean, that really just shows it's a piece of nonsense.
Actually, I'll tell you what.
If they really insisted on the removal of the entire word, one could understand that. But simply to say, well, we'll put an asterisk instead of that U, and that then will sort of appease everybody's sort of sense of offence.
Yeah, yeah, but if I could put my hand up,
where?
Anywhere? No, you're in Paris. Don't be so disgusting. Right?
Sorry.
It might be gay Paris, but we don't do things like that. Right? So, we are responsible. I hold my hands up, and I claim the responsibility for using asterisks for use in expletives that should be deleted.
Right. Well, the other really funny thing is listening to the radio here, I will hear a song from one of the London stations which says something else, like Flip, but as it's in Slovakia, they play the unedited version, which uses a different F word, which makes my sort of skin go, or something like that.
What's this song? Who's it by?
There's so many of them.
Like, including the letter U?
Yes.
Yeah. Only you.
Yes. God, yeah. Benny. Oh, it's going down the toilet, isn't it?
Only you, Ben.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Oh, no. I think at this juncture of the programme, boys and girls, we should just quit while we were not ahead.
Shall we just sing?
No. I think it's time for you lot to say goodbye.
All right, then.
Well, go on, then.
I want to make a quick broadcast.
Yeah, go on, then.
All I want to say is that the Consumer Action Group is now on Twitter. And if anybody's interested in current consumer interests as they come onto our forum, we're now down as the Consumer Action Group Real CAG. That's real_CAG.
There you go. He's good at commercials, isn't he?
I want to do one now.
You haven't got enough time. That was it for Postcard from Poprad for this week. Thanks to Mark for the programme and the commercial, and to Lee as well. We'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.